Good morning. Welcome in the name of Jesus to Journey Church Tacoma this morning. So whether you're here in person or you are taking us in through the live stream, we welcome you in the name of Christ. Just to put a fine point on a few of the announcements, we had a big announcement coming. April, our office administrator is going to be leaving us. At the end of April, so kind of appropriate with respect to the month. But April's going to be heading out after 20-some-odd years. April's been here for almost as long as the life of our church. In fact, for pretty much the entire life of our church. And she's going to be retiring. And so we are going to have some pretty big shoes to fill because April's awesome and amazing. And so a few things to keep in mind is that we will be celebrating April. So if you're wondering, is this just going to be like, hey, yo, peace, I'm out. And that's it? No, that's not going to happen that way. There will be celebration of April. That'll be happening, so keep your eyes and ears open for that. But at the same time, we are looking for folks to come in and to take over where she's leaving off. So we are hiring, and that material is available through Journey Weekly. So some of you get Journey Weekly, and you've seen that advertised, and then there's a link you can hit in order to submit a resume and a cover letter. So please go ahead and take advantage of that. If you have any questions, you can also come just to the office and you can inquire about the position if you or someone else you know is interested. But in any event, so big changes afoot because April's going to be retiring. She's in a new phase of life. And so Journey is going to figure out how we can go on without her. And that's what we're going to do. So that's a big deal. Another thing, too, to pay attention to, and this is follow-up from annual meeting, is one of the things we were talking about is how we could continue to establish a missions push with respect to Journey and to get consistent missions that we want to be involved in. And the CMA, our denomination, Christian and Missionary Alliance, they provided that. There is a movement called Vision Alaska, which, as the name implies, is about getting the gospel out to different parts of Alaska. There are churches in different parts of Alaska, but because of the remoteness and just because of the kind of place it is, there's still a massive gospel need. Well, the CMA is recruiting folks from churches just like ours to go out and to meet that need. And so there's a guy named Dan Samuelson. He is with Vision Alaska with the CMA. And Dan's actually been here before, so some of you may remember Dan coming through last year. Great guy. Dan's going to have the pulpit on April 19th, so that is 2 weeks after Easter. So it's about, better part of a month from now. And so Dan will be, he'll have the pulpit, and he will cast vision for, hey, here's what Vision Alaska is. Here's what God's doing. Here's what the need is. And then there'll be a Q&A session afterwards. And we're looking to basically make this a part of what we do for missions. And so some people have been wondering, we've done a lot of different kinds of things. And for missions, we've done Houses of Hope or Homes of Hope in Mexico. And there's been other stuff that's happened before I got here. So we have a long legacy of being involved in short-term missions. But this is something that's come on the radar. It's pretty cool. It's from the CMA. It's got a lot of legs to it. And so we want to go ahead and see if we can dive into it. So that's April 19th. So got a few weeks ahead of us. We'll keep advertising it, but put it on your calendars. Make sure you're here. Dan's a great guy, and it'll be an opportunity to hear about, hey, what is God doing, and how can I, my family, be involved in spreading the gospel in Alaska, right? So pretty cool stuff. So there we go. Any other announcements? All those announcements you saw are in Journey Weekly. If so, you just get kind of a double dose every week. So if you're wondering, I missed something, it went by too fast, can't read it, you got another shot at it, right? It's in Journey Weekly, so there we go. All right, in any event, we are going to turn to the word of the Lord this morning. There's a word from God, and we're in our Colossians series, Gospel, Viral Gospel, Viral Faith, and we're going to continue that this week. So let's go ahead and pray as we turn to the word. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, this is your time. Have your way. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our households. Have your way with every aspect of our lives, our finances, our relationships. Have your way, Lord, with the way we use our time. Have your way, Lord, with broken areas of our lives. Have your way with areas of our lives where we are doing fantastic, that are marvelously intact, and you want to build on what's good. Lord God, have your way in every single aspect of our lives, and through this word, speak into those parts of our lives that you want to speak into. Do what you want to do. Comfort, convict, encourage, Lord God. Give us vision for things that you want to do in us and through us. We need you, and so we're turning to you through your word. Speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just a little word. This will be the last bit of Colossians for a few weeks because we got Palm Sunday next Sunday. Easter thereafter, I know it's here. You're like, whoa, how'd that happen, right? It's all almost here. So it'll be Colossians, and then we'll have Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, and then at some point in time, we'll get back to it, right? We will get back to Colossians. Like, we will finish the series. This is just like kind of welcome to the church year. Everything doesn't fit in nice, neat little boxes. So there we go. So we're in Colossians 3 right now, continuing our time in Colossians 3, and we will be doing Colossians 3, verses 9 through 17. Our theme today is the viral reign of Christ. The viral reign of Christ. And I'll go ahead and read Colossians 3, 9 through 17 from the NIV. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This part of Colossians is a continuity. It's a continuity with the last thing we looked at in Colossians. In Colossians 3, kind of the anchor for Colossians 3 is you got to have your head in the clouds. You got to have your head in the clouds. Now, normally when people say that, it's not good, right? If you're, like, when I was in school, right, I always had my head in the clouds, right? I didn't do what I was supposed to be doing. Like, I'd, you know, be in math class, and we'd be looking at, like, trigonometry or something like that, and I'm just sitting there going, man, this book I'm reading, this horror novel I'm reading is amazing. I wonder how it's going to turn out, right? And I'm just sitting there, and you know, the teacher's talking about sine and cosine and tangent and cosecant and all. And I'm just like, la 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 la. I did not do well in that class, right? Had my head in the clouds. Or a lot of times I was drawing. I draw a lot. Like, if you look at my notebooks, some of you know because you're in meetings with me, like elder meetings or board meetings, and it's kind of a joke. Like, I'll be sitting there. People are, we're talking through some heavy stuff, and I'm just like sitting there like, I'm just drawing. I'm like looking at you going, uh-huh, yeah, yeah. And I'm just drawing. Now, that one, I'm paying attention, okay, but I the way I pay attention is I draw. Like, it's just, it's a thing. It's always been a thing. And so I'm, like, really focused. I'm paying attention. So you're in a meeting with me, and I'm drawing, and you're like, good grief, this guy's a moron. He doesn't care about what I'm saying. I'm paying attention. I just have to draw. It's just, it's a thing. I'm a fidget, right? I always have like something in my hand or whatever, just doing something. It's just me, right? A lot of people are like this, right? And a lot of times you can have your head in the class. It's usually bad. You're on a job and you're not doing well, or you're not paying attention, and your boss might say, get your head out of the clouds, right? Like, pay attention to what's happening right in front of you. Well, this time around in Colossians 3, it's actually good to have your head in the clouds. In fact, Paul would say, Paul the apostle who wrote this, he would say, you need to have your head in the clouds if you're going to live the way Jesus wants you to live. Then what does that mean? We'll go back to Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. See? Paul wants your head in the clouds. Why? Because Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. What's he doing there? Ruling and reigning. He's running stuff, right? He's running stuff. And what Paul is saying is, look, he wants on earth as it is in heaven. All Colossians 3 can be boiled down to that part of the Jesus prayer where Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not heaven or earth. It's heaven overlapping with earth. That's actually Colossians 3. If you can get that, you got the whole bit. The whole bit. And what Paul is saying is, look, get your mind and your heart on where Christ is ruling and reigning. Right? Because everything in heaven is utterly consistent with Christ's rule and the character of his rule. That's why heaven's awesome. Heaven's awesome because it's consistent with the rule of God. That's why it's amazing. Right? Earth is not always like that. And so that's why we pray on earth as is in heaven. We want earth, which is different from heaven, to be consistent with the rule and reign of the living God. Prayer helps to facilitate that. God has designed it so his people can help to facilitate that through prayer. So here, when Paul's saying, look, you want to live right on earth? Get your mind right. Where? Get your mind in the clouds. Where? Where Christ is ruling and reigning. Right? Live under Christ's rule and reign and live for future glory. Live for future glory. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. So you're living for the rule and reign of Christ. Get your head in the clouds. And then get your head in the future. Eventually, when he comes back, we will be glorified. Head in the clouds, look into the future. Yippee. All right? So how does that translate to on earth? What's the on earth part? We got the heaven part. We got the future part. How does that translate on earth? Well, what we saw last time around is everything inconsistent with Christ's rule and reign, everything inconsistent with that glory, that our future glory, got to go. So we had this long list of bad stuff, right? Malice, hatred, evil in us, in not out there, in here, in Myron, in me. He's like, get rid of that. He was very clear. Kill it. Kill it. Get a hit list. Become a hit man. Become a hit woman. Get a hit list and kill that stuff in your life that is inconsistent with the rule and reign of the Lord. Sexual immorality, malice, filthy talk, all this stuff that destroys us and communities, destroys families, destroys churches. Get rid of that. Why? Why? Because it's inconsistent with the rule and reign of Christ in our future glory. That's it. Right? But now we're on the positive side. This whole passage here, we need to hang out in the positive. We don't have a hit list. We don't have a hit list in this bit. No. We don't have a hit list. Instead, we got rid of our hit list. We're not snipers, right? We don't have our weapons where we're killing things. We're gardeners. We're in a garden. And we're going to tend God's garden. And we're going to prune. And we're going to plant. And we're going to water. And we're going to grow stuff. It's going to be really cool. And we're going to harvest. And we got orchards and fields and everything. Trellises and vines. Yeah. Right. All you gardeners really happy. I only talk about this stuff. I don't really do it. I'm just using it as a metaphor. So don't like walk out of here thinking, oh, that guy, he must really know a lot about garden. No, I know a lot about metaphors. Right. We know who the master gardeners are here in this church. And they are not me. Okay. But we're going to be gardeners. We're not hit men and hit women anymore with our sin in our sights. Now, because our head is in the clouds, we want to live under the rule and reign of Christ, and we want to look forward to future glory. How do we live down here? Here's all the positive stuff that's consistent with the rule and reign of Christ, because Christ's rule and reign in heaven is viral in his church. It may not be viral all the time in the world. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Depends on what period of time you're in. But it should always be viral, like a good virus in his church. Christ's rule and reign, always viral in the church. Not always viral in the world, but should always be viral, like a good virus in your life, in my life, and in our church, in every church that bows the knee to King Jesus. This is all the good stuff, right? This is the stuff that's consistent with his rule and reign, consistent with future glory, and that's what we're going to talk about. So first thing we're going to hit is how. How is Christ's reign, Christ's reign, how does it promote viral, we're going to call renewal, in Christ's church? How does that happen? How is there viral, we're going to call renewal, making things new, in Christ's church? How? And at the end, we're going to talk about why. How? Why? That's it. Okay? So here's the how. Right? Here's the how within the church of Christ's reign being viral within the church. Right? Here's the how. First is that we get a renewed image and a renewed identity. Renewed image and identity. Pick it up in verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Get a new image and a new identity. This is part of the viral renewal of Christ's reign. Let's look at this language here. The language here, he starts out, he says, don't lie to each other. Why? Right? And you think he'd say something like, because lying's bad. Right? Because lying is the opposite of truth. And Jesus is the truth. Don't lie. Right? God loves truth. God hates falsehood. Don't do it. That's what he says. He could. Those things are true. But that's not his rationale. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. His logic is, don't violate each other by lying, because you're a new thing. You are a new thing. Don't lie. And the person who you will lie to, so he's assuming another Christian, is also a new thing. Is being renewed in the image of his creator. So you don't lie. You're a new creature because of Jesus. This person who you are lying to is also a new creature in Jesus. Don't lie. It's that simple, right? Because you've taken off your old self. You're new. You don't lie anymore. It's not you. That's the old you. Old you was a liar. I was a liar before I came to Christ, right? Don't do that stuff. It's inconsistent with truth. You're new. You put on a new self. It's being renewed in the knowledge, in the knowledge of the image of his creator, right? This is Genesis language. God makes human beings in Genesis. And how does he make them? In his image. In Christ, the image got broken because of the fall, right? So it didn't totally get obliterated, but it got horribly fractured because we sinned against God, right? And so what's happening in Christ is that same image, God didn't throw it in the garbage. He didn't say, oh, it stinks, right? I was beta testing. I was beta testing that image. Let's get a new one. No, he's like, no, I'm going to fix it. It's a fixer-upper. I'm going to do renewal, renovation in Christ. I'm going to make it new. It's being renewed. Not it's over time. It is being renewed. We're a work in progress, right? I've been a Christian for 30 years. I'm not at the same stage of renewal I was when I first came to know Christ, right? The image is not as broken as it was. That should be true as you progress in your walk with Jesus. It's being renewed, kind of a progressive sense of that term. This is a new creation. It's Genesis part 2 with Jesus right in the middle, because now the new image is based on the new man, Jesus, the God-man. See? He is the template for what we're supposed to be. So Paul says, don't lie. That's not who you are anymore. And the people who you're, these people you're lying to, Christian, that's not who they are. You're violating them. You're violating the new image in yourself, and you're violating their image. Don't do that. Don't lie. See? Don't lie. But then he chases down the implications even further. Here you can say is either in Christ or in the church. That word here. Because like you see the word here, you're like, here. Where are we? In Christ or in the church or both? Right? Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Right? The logic is this: because we are all, as Christians, made in this new image because we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and now we are being renewed according to the image of Christ, and the broken image is being made new progressively. Now, we all got this one root, this singular image that's Jesus. So therefore, all of our other identities take a back seat to that. Gentile, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all, it is in all. He's not saying that these identities disappear. You know, I became a Christian. I'm still black. Right? You became a Christian. You're still white or biracial or Hispanic, Asian. Right? I'm still American. It's not like these things don't vanish. Still male, still female. Yeah, that's here. We're good. It gets demoted. Takes a back seat because the root now is being renewed in one singular image. It's based on Jesus, right? So we get a new image and a new identity, right? This marks us as those who belong to God. God says, your primary belonging is to me, renewed in the image of my son. Everything else is important and cool. Your ethnicity is fine. Your language is fine. Your culture, all cultures need to be redeemed. None of them are perfect. But they're great. They're beautiful, right? They all take a back seat, though. Because God, the primary belonging we have is to the Lord. We don't have a primary belonging to our tribe or our identity group. That's not primary. We don't get to take those and say, this is primary, and I'll fit Jesus in somewhere. Right? Here's my politics. Here's how I vote. I'm this team. I'm that team. And yeah, I'll wedge Jesus in. I got a place for him. You know, I'm going to carve out a spot right here. I'll even shape it like a cross, and I'll put him right here. And Jesus is like, no. Nopey nope with a side of nope sauce. And a lot of people are right now trying this foolishness out in the world. There's a lot of people trying this foolishness right now, and it will send you to hell. That is idolatry. The Lord don't play with that. We can't take out any kind of identity we have and say, I'll fit you in, Jesus, as idol worship. Jesus isn't trying to fit in anywhere. He's Lord. That's not how this works. Jesus is the one who says, I'm Lord, you join me. Everything else you got going on is subservient to that. And that's a good word for our atmosphere now, because you got all these little tribes and identity politics and people playing all this nonsense, racial stuff and ethnic stuff and cultural stuff and yada yada stuff. Most of it's goofy and historically uninformed. And a lot of people don't realize they're being manipulated by a lot of people who are higher up in the food chain than they are, and they're getting punked. And the Lord says, you come to me, and I'll give you your primary identity, because that's the one that matters into eternity anyway. We get a new image and a new identity, because we play for a new team, right? We play for a new team. And that's what's most important. Next, we get new people and new practices, right? Jesus' reign is viral in the church through new people and new practices. Pick it up in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. The passage is separated out between new people, new practices. Verse 12, right, tells us this. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, we're chosen, holy, so holy to God, and dearly loved by God, right? Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. That's very important right there, that first bit. Can't just skate over that. Notice who is doing what first. The first thing is God's affections towards us. God has chosen us. We're special. We're his chosen people. He's talking about the church, right? Holy to him. Has a sense of being carved out, cut out of something, and made holy. God says, mine. Mine. Right? And then dearly loved. Deep affection for someone. This is all the kind of language that God would use in the Old Testament of Israel. That's not coincidental. Paul's Jewish. He knows what he's doing. You're supposed to look at this and say, like, wait a minute, I think I've heard something like this before. You have. You've heard it with respect to Israel. It's just being applied to the church right now. And we're chosen by God, by grace. We're made holy to God. God carves us out of the world and says, be holy as I am holy. You are mine. I will be your God. You will be my people. You're mine. Right? And we're dearly loved. We're cherished. We're cherished. God loves us. He has a deep and abiding affection for you, for me, for the whole of the church. Right? Now, in response to that, our affections for one another come. Remember Exodus? Remember the Ten Commandments? How do they work? First, you get the vertical straight, right? No other gods before me. Don't make any carved images. Keep my Sabbath. Don't take my name in vain. That's the vertical, right? And then the other six commandments are horizontal. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie, right? Don't covet, right? It's the same way here. The logic is exactly the same. God, he's chosen us. He made us holy to him. He loves us. And then after that, clothe yourself with all these virtues, these practices. It's the same logic. It's the exact same logic. God's first, then us. God first loves us, then we love each other. The vertical and the horizontal straight, right? That's how this works. Now, here's the cool thing. So you got the virtues are compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, one another's, right? Notice where he camps out, because it's easy to just say, like, oh, let's just be compassionate, let's be kind, let's be humble, gentle, patient. It's like, okay, you can do that for me, but like, there's like doing that for me before I've had coffee, there's doing that for me after I've had coffee, right? It's doing that for me if I've had a good day. It's doing that for me if I don't have my mind right. It's doing that for me if I prayed. It's doing that for me if I haven't prayed. Right? Or if I'm just particularly twitchy one day. Friction. It's easy to talk about compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Like, oh yeah, be that way towards one another. It's like, yeah, but sometimes I'm a lot. Sometimes I'm crazy. Sometimes I ain't got my mind on right. What you gonna do then? Ah, it's no coincidence he spends most of his time, this very little part of the letter, on one thing. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's a reason why there's like, you know, a big chunk of this is on forgiveness. Because we run into friction. Right? All these diverse people, Gentile, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, poor, rich. Politically red, politically blue, politically purple. Right? These are potentially volatile differences. And we're going to rub up against each other. And we got to be compassionate, kind, humble towards one another, gentle, patient. And when we run into friction, we got to forgive. And not just forgive, notice, as the Lord forgave you. Wow. Not just forgive the way Myron would forgive. You know, fine, I forgive you. Yeah, sure, yeah, right. Okay, yeah, cool, we're good. Yeah. Fine. One of the worst words in the world. Marriages, relationships with kids, friendships, work relationships, fine. Ugh. Especially that tone, fine. You know, always communicates, it ain't fine. It ain't fine. It's going to come back to haunt you. You said the word, but really beneath the surface, we ain't good. It's not good. Something's coming back to bite me at some point in time. It's like, yep, you better believe it when you hear, fine. That's not how we forgive. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. What does that look like? Look at the cross. Jesus on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive as he forgave, right? And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity, right? The root of this is God's affections towards us, chosen, holy, dearly loved people. That fuels us being compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, patient, forgiving. And then the kind of the apex of all of these is love. Why do we need this? Right? And you can look at bumper stickers and say, well, you should just be nice. You should just be gentle. Like, it's not bad, right? You know why we need this, though? It's because of what we read before. There's a lot of diversity in churches. Gentile, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, black, white, poor, rich, come from a rural background, come from an urban background, right? You speak a certain way. Ain't is a regular part of your vocabulary. I'm from the South. I love the word ain't. I think it's powerful. Ain't. That ain't right. Right. You have accents. It's, you know, I love Southernisms. And I love Southern accents. Right? I love Southern drawls. Right. I do. That ain't right. Right. You can get right. You can get your mind right. What's wrong with you? Right. I'm fixing to do it. Right. Man, he ain't got a brain in his head, does he? Right. I like that. Right. That community, I grew up in the South. That communicates to me. It's like, man, you just spoke my language. I'm good. Right. But for some people, it means you're dumb. See, we have these different things that we do. We think that some people are dumb. If you're a farmer, oh, he's just a farmer, right? He's a farmer. I'm from the city. Now, I'm a city guy, right? But when I lived in Iowa for 6 years, had the privilege of working with farmers. I pastored farmers. Holy cow, are they smart. I mean, I didn't necessarily think farmers were dumb, but it's different, like, rubbing shoulders with farmers on a regular basis. I'm like, you are like way smarter than me. Whoa. I didn't know all that. I mean, I couldn't believe everything I learned from farmers. Right? But we have these values, these value markers we put on things. And we say, that means you're smart, and that means you're stupid. Right? And so all these, this list that Paul has here, these differences, and there's far more he could have said. Right. This is why we need these virtues like compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, because all these things have hidden signifiers. We make these prejudiced judgment calls based on what we see on the outside. And some of these false teachers who were afflicting the Colossians, who were Jewish, they had some of this. Like, oh, you know, you Gentiles, man, you don't know the real deal. We're Jewish. We're circumcised. You're not. I know you got this baptism thing that's really cool. What you really need to do is get snipped. Yeah. Right? Which I know for me would have been like, nah, I'm out. I'm out, fam. I'm like, I'm good. Right? Paul's saying, no, because of these differences, which at times can be hard differences. Right now, a lot of these are hard differences because of identity politics. Right? Because we worship politics right now. And a lot of these differences are really hard, even in the church. And Paul says, nope, nope. Christ is all, means he's supreme. And if you're a believer, he's in all. So nobody can claim you're the awesome sauce person. Because Christ is in the person you're looking down on too. Right? We got new people and we got new practices. Lastly, we got a new name and we have new grace. This is how Christ's reign runs viral in the church. Pick it up in 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We have a new name and new grace. Now, this list looks like another list, right? It looks like another list. Like, Paul's just saying, hey, here's more stuff to do. It's not. There's a rhythm to this list. It's very important. The peace, he wants the peace of Christ, to rule in our hearts, right? Because we're called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. Right? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see that? It's the name of Christ and thanks to God. Three times. And they're all paired together. Name of Christ, thanks to God. Name of Christ, thanks to God. Right? Peace of Christ rules relationships. The picture here is that peace, Christ's peace, is a referee, an umpire. Right? If you and I have a disagreement, the first thing to say is, look, whatever happened, the referee is Christ's peace. The umpire is Christ's peace. That's the image, right? And be thankful, right? Here, he says that we teach each other through songs. He's not talking about Sunday school. It's songs. Let the message of Christ, that's the gospel, right? Dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through what? Psalms. They mean Old Testament psalms. Hymns and songs from the Spirit, worship, which we've done already, we will do again. Singing to God with gratitude, thanks, in our hearts. And then whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is a new name and new grace. The peace of Christ rules our relationships, right? The gospel permeates our worship. And then everything we do is marinated in Jesus' sauce. Everything we do, marinated in Jesus' sauce. Right? All these things focused on his name. And all the while, we give thanks to God. Why do you give thanks? Because of grace. When you get birthday presents and you give thanks to people, thank you, you know, you write thank you letters or whatever, or for Christmas. Why are you giving thanks? Because of grace. Right? Here's how I think's happening. This isn't just a random list. This is, we are being renewed by Christ's name, right? His name is branded on our peace. His name is branded on our worship. His name is branded on everything we do. It's all punctuated by gratitude for God's grace in and through Christ. It's his new grace since Jesus has come, right? Okay, so that's cool. What does all that mean? What that means is that we get a new culture. If every church, ours included, works that way, where Christ's branding is on our relationships, the peace of our relationships, our worship, and everything we do, and we're constantly giving thanks due to God's grace in Christ, that affects our culture, like literal church culture, right? A lot of A lot of times, in, you know, churches wrestle with how do you remain relevant in culture. It's fine. How do you remain relevant to different generations? How do you remain relevant in when things are good, when things are not so good, right? How do you remain relevant when you've had shifts in your demographic, in your neighborhood, that kind of thing? It's fine. We should wrestle with that, okay? And a lot of times people say, you know, now we want to make sure that church isn't churchy, right? We don't want it to be churchy. You know, get rid of this, get rid of that. It's a lot of get rid of. You know, make it look like you're going to SoFi Stadium and to watch the Rams play, you know, or something like that. It's like, well, look, there are things you should do. Yes, chairs versus pews is kind of a no-brainer, though I do like some pews. I like the smell of wood, right? I had something about that I like. That's a me thing, all right? There are some things you can dispense with. That's fine. It's dependent upon where you are. But I'm of the mind church should be churchy. I don't apologize for everything, right? I don't apologize for when people see things like, oh, I don't mind church, but like it's a little too churchy. And they had this long list about things that are too churchy. I'm like, what else are we gonna be? We're a church. This ain't Dunkin' Donuts. What you thought it was gonna be? Of course, it's a church. There are some things we fit to do. There's some rhythms we have in terms of how we worship, how we look at scripture, how we interact, the side hug during fellowship time. That's us. Some stuff is churchy. Let it be churchy, right? Don't apologize for all of church culture. Make the upgrades that are necessary. Change the things that we need to change. That's fine. Praise God, right? Praise God. Some churches die because they won't change stuff. I'm not saying don't change anything. Don't hear that. But stuff things need to be churchy. And this is one thing that needs to be churchy, is that we need to be characterized by a new name and new grace. It needs to be Jesus graffiti in our relationships. Jesus graffiti in our worship, right? Our worship songs are not, our worship songs should not be interchangeable with secular love songs. Because too many times people say, we sing worship songs, it's like, and by the way, I'm not talking about ours. I love our worship team. Todd, I love our worship team. We good. We straight. But I mean, sometimes though we get, and I think it's well-meaning. It's well-meaning. But sometimes it's like, so I'm like, man, are we singing about Jesus or about your boyfriend? Or your girlfriend? What is this? Right? Is this about the Lord, the sovereign of the universe, or is this about your breakup? I was like, you better work that out somewhere else. Don't bring that here. We're not trying to do all that, right? Some stuff needs to be churchy. Needs to have Jesus graffiti on it. That's what Paul is getting at here, is that this is a Jesus culture. And being thankful, he mentions this three times for a reason, in rhythm. Being thankful for the grace of God in Christ Jesus is part of that. We need to be eternally grateful that God sent the God-man for us, to rescue us from sin, hell, and death. That's part of how you do churchy, right? And that should never change. It doesn't matter who's like, I don't know if I like that. I'm like, well, one of us needs to change, and it's not going to be us. Get right. Grace is real. See, we need to be characterized by Jesus' name and also the new grace that we have in him. Wrap it up. Christ's church is renewed by Christ's reign. That's it. We have our head in the clouds where he rules and reigns. We want to see on earth as it is in heaven, right? In the church as it is in heaven. Christ's reign runs viral. The church didn't just happen to catch the Jesus virus. We run on the Jesus virus. His viral reign and the character of that reign. Here's the why. Just recapping what we've said so far. We get a renewed identity that makes us as believers relevant to the Lord. We belong to him. We do not belong primarily to our racial, ethnic group, political tribe, ideological tribe. We don't belong primarily to our nation of origin, even though that those things are all beautiful and important. I'm not putting them down. But they're not primary. Right? And we can't be like the world because the world puts those up first. We need to give our earthly identity a demotion and give our identity in Christ a promotion. See? Renewed practices. This is how we maintain diversity and unity. These are not just virtues that are just awesome to practice to go on a bumper sticker. We need compassion and kindness and forgiveness because we got so much diversity. And to manage that, my goodness, we have to be kind. We have to be compassionate, and we have to forgive the way the Lord forgives because we are going to rub against each other the wrong way. We just will because we're works in progress, right? And because those identities, those secondary identities, they clash, right? Lastly, peace, worship, action, thanks in Christ's name. This creates a Jesus culture in our church. This makes our church churchy. This is how a church should be churchy, right? This is how we should be churchy people, right? Like the smell of wooden pews. Like old stained glass. If you ever went to a church, I got saved in church, did stained glass, right? It's more fundamental than that. To be characterized by Jesus' name and by the new grace we've received. Right? Friends, this is how we do on earth as it is in heaven. Get your head in the clouds. This is the one time in life where it's totally right. Get your head in the clouds, right? And make sure everything up there, through you, through me, through us, is manifested down here. In our church, in our lives, in our families, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Praise God.